You are listening to the Drew and Jay podcast, brought to you by 21 Media Productions. He is Drew Lasker. I am Jay Marriott. This is episode 18. We head to Devon, my place, as we put some much needed spotlight on TJ Atwood and the Plymouth City Patriots. But first, Mr. Lasker, we had a little Super Bowl action last night with a little halftime action from one of your faves. You know, how was it? Did you make it all the way through the night?
Well, you know what? I did. And after that performance last night, and I'm talking about mine, you know, I'm thinking about taking this show on the road, man. You know, I'm looking for a manager. You know, I think my tickets will be quite affordable, £25 to get in, and I will just serenade you with all the Usher hits because, man, he inspired me because that was a hell of a show, man, even though, like, my time clock has been messed up today. Did you get to catch it?
Oh, mate, I'm 42 now, so it was highlights and YouTube action for me, but I was still singing, even though I was just, like, catching up with it on the car this morning before we started all our camps. But the big question is, does Mrs. Lasker have any hot footage of you throwing some moves around? She does tend to keep a couple in the bank.
You know what? She'll throw it out there probably like 2 or 3 weeks when I got my guard down. You know what I mean? And so she likes to keep it in the archives. But man, I mean, that was one hell of a show. Like, for those that didn't watch, Usher, the choreography was incredible. Midway through, he got on skates. But, like, people don't understand how hard it is to dance and sing. He had a live mic. What a talent, man. That was a lot of fun. It woke me up because I was just starting to doze off. So
just as you heard the tunes, like, where did it take you? Where did you heard the song and, like, where did it take you?
I mean, it took me to my bedroom when I was in high school. It took me to, which is funny because a friend of mine from college, she messaged on Instagram and said it reminded me of Beachcomber Nights in San Diego, which was a Thursday night dollar beers. And so you can imagine what kind of nights those were. You know, the early candy store days down there in Plymouth, man, I was just, my mind was scattered, man. Like,
candy store,
back,
I forgot,
man,
about that.
Yeah. Revos, yeah, on a Sunday. You know, it took me, man.
DJ Jonesy giving us some magic moments. Oh, I felt young then for a second.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough of that. I'm sure people don't want to hear us reliving our youth. So let's get to it. Let's get our guest into the room. Welcome, TJ Atwood. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Welcome. Well, before we get into the main body of this interview, we warm you up with a quick fire round. So I give you a question. You have to answer with one word. Are you ready?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Okay, this is the Marriott Minute. Lamar University.
Tradition.
Coach Paul James.
Great.
Plymouth City Patriots.
Lovely.
Funniest teammate?
Spence.
Teammate most likely to be late? he had a name right
call
away
him out,
right there.
Call
I saw
him
it.
Out.
Oh, you're going to make me do that to me. Late.
Unsung hero on the team?
Joe.
The city of Plymouth.
Wonderful.
Glad you said that. That's my hometown. Favorite game day sneaker?
Kobe's.
Favorite NBA player?
LeBron.
Favorite NBA team?
I'll just say Lakers.
And finally, TJ Atwood.
Great. I'll just say great.
Well, that's this week's Marriott Minute. That was an easy one for you, bud. You did well there.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you aced that, man. And to build on that last question, according to your college coach, he says, of high character and one of the most favorite players he's ever coached. But Man, you've been in the UK too long because you from Beaumont, Texas. You up the street from me. I'm from Katy out there in Houston. And we do not use words like lovely, man. So, you know. You can be yourself. You can bring that Texas slang on here. But as Jay mentioned, it's Jay's hometown. Jay and I were teammates there. I played for Plymouth 7 years out of my career. My wife is from Plymouth, so we go down there often. Just what's your initial thoughts of the city? Because it's not a place that many of our listeners will go. Just it's not a place you would travel to, but we always say it's a hidden gem, man.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with it being a hidden gem. I think from the first day I came here, I just felt like more so comfortable. I wouldn't just say like just the best place, not like a world renowned place, but I felt really, really like comfortable, like I belong in a way. You know what I mean? It was no adjustment period for me, because like even before coming, I may have only heard of Plymouth like a handful of times. You know what I mean? As far as like history wise go. But I mean, shoot, like I said, man, since day one, I felt really, really comfortable, and I felt like I belong, and I feel like it's a fit for me.
Well, since you used the word history, and I gotta put you on the spot, what's historic about Plymouth? Let's see if you've done your homework.
So what we learned about in school, like one of the first few things we learned about in school, is this is supposed to be the city that they left to go when they left to go discover America.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, shout out to Beaumont Elementary.
Beaumont Elementary. Well, I love that. It's a great description. And in case you, the fans, haven't made the trek down to Plymouth, what TJ hasn't told you is you've got the beautiful sea. You can go up on the moors where you've got the freshwater rivers. And what TJ will never get to see is the fact that it turns into a Spanish-like city in the summer when TJ Atwood will sadly probably be at home working out and won't get to experience what is known as the sun. Obviously, if we go back in the memory banks, Drew, one of the funniest things about being an import player in Plymouth back in the day was we used to train on a naval base. So we would used to have to park up, and we had to go to a security place where they would walk you across. So you had to walk outside to get to the gym. Now, at the very start of the season, everyone would be dapping each other up, playing around, having a lot of fun. Now, TJ, you've just gone through December in Plymouth. Obviously, in December, having to stand outside in those security places,
wet as hell.
Nobody was talking. Nobody was conversating. So it can be some tough winners sometimes. You remember that, Drew?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't want to remember that because, you know, TJ and I, we're from Texas. We like heat, man. We like sun. I always say I'd rather be cold. I'd rather be hot than cold.
I mean, shoot. Like, for me, I mean, we are used to the heat in Texas. But, shoot, I've been around it for so long, man. I don't even know what cold is anymore. It has to be, like, an extremely cold place. But, yeah, man, I do kind of miss that Texas weather from time to time, but hey, I can't complain with what's going on out here, man.
You living your dream, man.
That's it.
Yeah, you know.
As lovely as Plymouth is, obviously Plymouth City Patriots themselves struggling a little bit this season. Like, can you put your finger on like what the problem is? You know, because you guys are competing in most games.
Yeah,
you have some real talented pieces. You know, what needs to happen in your mind just to get some more numbers in the win column? I need my hometown to get a few more wins here, TJ. What do we got to do?
Yeah, man. So I think it all starts from us being as a average age for the team is about 25, I believe. So I think it all starts there. Not using that for an excuse, but it can show at times. It does show in important times of the game. I mean, y'all, you can be competitive, as you guys said, but when it comes down to making those winning plays, we sort of haven't always been able to figure that part out just yet. So from that standpoint, knowing how to control the most important parts of a game, you know, time management, when to run certain plays or when to just share the ball at certain times, or knowing when to take when to pass up a good shot for a great shot, all of those things were we're still learning from. I would say we've gotten better as the season goes on, but sometimes it just takes extended periods of time for us to like get over that hump and actually start putting wins together. So yeah, I think that's our biggest problem, the experience factor, because not a lot of guys have been in the league this competitive in a while. And just learning how to close games and actually make those winning plays that a lot of people didn't really notice.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see. Because you guys are much more competitive than I thought you would be at the beginning of the season. But when it gets down to crunch time, like you say, it seems like when a team goes on that run and makes that knockout punch, you guys kind of panic, and the shot selection gets questionable. It's almost like a player is trying to get it all back in that one possession or trying to do it themselves. But what's really surprised me is that addition by subtraction. I thought the loss of Taylor Johnson would really put a dent in you guys, but it almost feels like you guys are better. Can you explain of how you lose a 15-point player a game, but then like competitively you guys seem to be a little bit better?
Yeah. Well, before I go on that, I just want to wish the best of luck to Taylor.
Yeah,
I don't want to great wish player. Ill of anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the best time when he went, but when you look at it in hindsight, it's probably the best move for both sides. So he's going to continue to do what he does. But as far as what we've had to do since he left, okay, we just said, all right, we lost one of our leading scorers. We can't just depend on one person, whether that's me or anybody else, to just pick up and start averaging 20 points. We have to be committed to trying to beat teams by committee, having 5-6 guys in double figures, being able to move the ball and trying to be as hard to game plan for as much as possible. Because, I mean, great teams will always beat great players at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So that's one thing that we've tried to get better at, using everybody, making sure that everybody is a threat in one way or another. It's gotten better since then, been able to utilize everybody on offense the best we can. But like I said, we still have to learn how to close games and have to make those key plays.
Yeah. Well, just give we always want the fans to get like a different perspective and insight, you know, and, you know, you're on a struggling team. And like you said, like there's some frustrations because you're right there, you're competing mm-hmm. against some top teams. Maybe then it looks on the outside that you guys are going to kick on and then, you know, maybe drop a game to a Surrey, for example, who you got to beat if you want to try and get out of those situations. How do you remain, how do you remain positive and upbeat as a group? Because like you said, you pretty much know how to fix the problem. You mm-hmm. guys are trying to communicate through that problem. But also you guys are competitors, right? We're all in this to compete. And it can be really tense. You know, both myself and Drew, we've been on some championship winning teams.
Yeah.
We've been on some losing teams. It can be tough. Like, just tell the fans how you use that as a perspective to get better.
Well, for me personally, I try to use those mistakes as learning points, because it may be certain things that I may get right during the game, and it may be certain things that may be out of our control. But for one, we try to only worry about the things we can control. And I'll say, like right here, right now, the last two times we played Surrey, we were within a few points. And when it comes to that, I mean, the game before last that we played them, I missed the potential game-winning shot. So I would put that blame on me. It killed me that night. But at the same time, I also told myself, like, next time we play them, I'll be ready. Because the shot I missed is the shot that I've made all season long. It just didn't happen to fall that game. And then the day before last, man, I missed three key free throws when we lost by two. So, I mean, it's not 100% a good thing that I fully blame myself. But as a leader of the team, both vocally and on the court, I mean, obviously, I look to myself before I put blame to anybody else. So from that standpoint, those last two Surrey games, I pretty much blame myself. I still do. But at the same time, whether we finish in this season or whatever happens next season, it's just motivation for me to get it right the next time. And it's going to be a long a long journey for the rest of this season, a long off season, but it's going to be in the forefront of my mind when I'm in training and I really don't feel like doing certain things, pushing myself. But remembering those times where I felt like I let my team down, y'all will give me all the motivation I need to make sure I deliver for them the next time.
Yeah, and actually we analyzed that here on the podcast, and my analysis of that in particular play of your potential game winner was, and it was on Patty at Wang, who's probably their best on-ball defender, is that they threw the ball straight down to you. And I said on here that I felt like when you want to do that, there needs to be some movement, and then we come to you late. You know what I mean? So then you're able to get a switch in that situation and get a more favorable matchup. But like you say, that's just a learning experience. But you've played in Slovakia. You've played around, even though you're young in your career. Just give us your overall judgment of the British Basketball League from a competitive perspective, from a promotional perspective, because you know, this move, the league is moving really fast and how it's growing. So just kind of give us your perspective.
As far as like talent wise, man, it's every single team has multiple talented guys. They have guys who specialize in certain things. It doesn't always have to be scoring. It could be passing the ball. It could be playing defense. It could be rebounding. You know what I mean? And we have a lot of guys who can obviously do a little bit of everything, get buckets. Great athletes. Every single team has great athletes. And man, every single day we play, it's a fight always, no matter who you're playing. You know what I mean? So from that standpoint, talent in the league, man, it's
gotta be fun. That's gotta be fun though, man. Like to
most
be able to
definitely
be...
is fun.
Yeah.
Always look forward to it. You know what I mean? I always look forward to it. But as far as like the league as a whole, with them moving forward and them finding all types of sponsors out here, going back all the way to the USA, broadcasting the games there is huge for the league. Giving people a chance who aren't originally from the UK, giving their families a chance to be able to watch them on TV in a whole nother country is huge, man. That just shows the level of interest that other people have for the game league-wide here and across the world. You know what I mean? Because you never know who could be watching. So as league-wise goes, it's huge. It's huge. And I hope it continues to keep growing.
Just expand on that real quick about like what you know, your support system and what people have said about getting the opportunity to watch you, because a lot of questions when that deal was announced and people still ask it is, why are we showing this game in the States and why would someone in the States be interested in watching the British Basketball League?
Well, I think it kind of ties into like culturally the UK and the US are kind of similar. We both speak the same language pretty much. So, that plays a big part in it. But, I mean, shoot, like you guys just said, it's so much talent in this league. Not only do people around Europe and other places in the world know about it, but people in the US know about it. It's just so many good things going on as far as like people just taking the game from the U.S. and bringing it here, so on and so forth. So I'm very grateful for that. Hopefully it continues to grow, but it just speaks volumes about how good the level of basketball here is in the U.K.
With you obviously getting the opportunity for family and friends to be watching the games, you know, I imagine, I don't know this, but I imagine getting to see a lot more games than when you were in Slovakia, you know.
Yeah.
What have your friends, especially the ones that have a knowledge of the game, what have your friends been saying about the British Basketball League and the talent that you're facing night in and night out?
Well, they don't overlook it. You know what I mean? They know what they're looking at. I have some friends who will back me no matter what. You know, they're sitting there, they're trying to encourage me. Even if that means trash talking them a little bit, I know it's coming from a good place. But yeah, they know we play a great amount of talent no matter who we play, within the Patriots and within every other team in the league. Like I said, it's talent all over the place. They recognize that, and it's enjoyable for them to watch. So especially when the few wins that we got, they were ecstatic about it. You know, they were over the moon because they know that we're playing some very competitive teams.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I got to ask is we got the All-Star game coming up, and you mentioned it. It's so much talent in the league, and in the South where you guys are located, you would assume that somebody like Matt Morgan would be in a starting spot. But I look up, and it's a guy named T.J. Atwood that's currently leading the votes, second leading. You would, if it ended today, you would be a start. I think it ends on Wednesday or Thursday, by the way. You know,
So keep voting, guys. Keep voting.
Are those votes coming from the States? Are they coming from Plymouth? Or you just think that the league and the community is just respecting your game?
I think it's a combination of all of it. I mean, when I first told my parents about the All-Star game and with me having a chance to get in, I didn't really like push for any votes. I just told them about it and they were like, oh shoot, I think it's a pretty dope thing that we can actually like vote for it. And me knowing like my family, they're going to go above and beyond to see me get to that level. You know what I mean? So I'm like, man, listen, like it's a dope experience to even be mentioned, within those All-Star caliber guys. But, I mean, don't stress about it. You know what I mean? Because for me personally, it would be fun. But at the same time, I'm still trying to figure out ways to where we can get better and actually start piling up some wins. You know what I mean? Because once you start winning, that takes care of everything else. And obviously, not only my people back home helping vote, but we have, in my opinion, the best fans in the league out here in Plymouth. So obviously, they've been doing their thing, helping me out. And so is my family back home. And for every single person who has voted for me, I greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I don't take it for granted, but don't take this the wrong way. I do worry a little bit more about trying to get like league wins other than the All-Star votes and getting the All-Star game. Again, it's a dope thing. Don't get me wrong, but I'm more obsessed with winning and trying to get better and get better from that aspect.
Yeah. Wow. I got to say, your career as a politician afterwards is going to be absolutely golden, mate. You played that really, really well. But a last thing for me is I just want to focus on you as an individual player. Like I have really enjoyed watching you this season. You know, but I would describe your game really as a throwback. You know how today's game is going. You know, everything is pace and space. Everything is three or at the rim. And I watch your game and I see you very much living in the gray areas. You know, and it's really fun to see somebody still being able to produce, being in those. Don't get me wrong, you know, I'm sure you can step out. You like to be physical, getting to the rim, but I love just seeing that mid-range game. Like, where has that come from? And have you kind of faced some confrontation with it? You know, because I know some young players that we work with and stuff like that, they've been challenged before about trying to work on their mid-range game and stuff like that, even though we still talk about how much we love three-level scorers. You know, talk to me a little bit about your game and where it's come from.
So, I mean, as a kid growing up, I've always been like that type to always just get to the rim. I've always had like a decent shooting form, but it just wasn't something that I always just hunted for, if that makes sense. It wasn't the first thing I would look for. I was literally all the way getting to the rim every single time. And the coach that pretty much taught me how to play, his name Tor Ballany from back home in Beaumont, he just literally told me one day, like, man, listen, with the way the game is going, people just want to get to the rim or shoot the three. You know what I mean? But if you get into that mid-range gray area type space, it's super, super hard to stop. You know what I mean? It's super hard to guard because literally nobody is going to know what you're doing, you know, because it's literally in between the three and the bucket. So it's hard to give up one thing when you're like right in that gray area. It's hard to defend. It's not a lot of space, one mistake, and it could literally be, it could be a bucket every single time. So I just worked on watching film, doing my own bit of studying to add those bits and pieces to my game. Still adding, obviously, but just working within that mid-range area, whether it's a post-up, face-up, just finishing or just shooting a fadeaway shot, man. It's always some things that I'm always looking for, detail wise, to just work on and tweak and just continue to try to perfect that part of my game.
What When you say, when you say work on your game, just for young fans that are watching, just talk to us about, you know, what it takes to play in those gray areas. Would you say like the majority of it is footwork? You know, a lot of times we talk about when you get into those gray areas, it's patience, it's mm-hmm. poise, it's pivots. You know, would you say it's a lot of footwork because you have to create your own space, or was it more about soft touch around the rim and making sure that you could execute?
It all boils down to detail, and obviously it starts with footwork, and that's pretty much the basis of everything I do, whether it's in that mid-range area or getting to the rim or floating around a three-point line. So it floats. It just all starts with the simplest things as far as like footwork, where I'm catching the ball, reading my defender, if he's too far up, trying to go bomb, if he's too far back, just simply either shoot it or take one step to the side or step back and actually shoot it. But it also just working continuously on that footwork, working on pivots, reverse pivots, catching the ball in like different spaces and using every single move and making it count, not using any wasted space, if that makes sense. And that's what I think about every time that I catch the ball, especially in that area. Every time I dribble the ball, it's methodical. I'm just thinking about what I'm doing, what's my next move, and so far, so forth.
That's awesome, man. So I know Kendrick Perkins, Steven Jackson, Bun B, and Trill Burgers will be proud of you represent Beaumont, Texas here in the UK. And excited to be able to see you in the flesh next week and hopefully at the All-Star game. So make sure you guys go out, get your last votes on TJ Atwood, and we appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate it so much, man. Thank you, guys.
No, thanks for your time, man. Get me some dubs, will you? Come on. It's my hometown.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. We're working on it. Trust me. We are working on it.
Thanks, brother. Speak to you soon.
Yes, sir. Guys, take care.
Sometimes you can just tell, but Jay, that is a guy of really high character.
Oh, man. Great guy. Great to spend some time with him. And, you know, we'll say it again. Vote for him, man. He deserves it. He's a really special player. I know the record's not reflecting it right now, but I've enjoyed watching him this year. Very, very different player to most players we're seeing in this league.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to the meat and potatoes of the podcast. Hot topics brought to you by SoFab Sports. And we got to start with the hottest team in the league, man, the Cheshire Phoenix, who are 9-0. And I think we need to get Dave Routledge to tweet about this, because I'm curious, is this the first time we've seen a team run the table consecutively through the league? So their 9-0 record is against every other team in the league, which I thought was really fitting. They're the hottest team, they're the trophy champs. You know, as we start eyeballing the playoffs outside of London, because currently they would meet those guys at the 0-2 if everything fell the way it is starting to finishing today. Give me one team out there you believe, you trust, that can beat this team in a three-game series.
Well, a couple of things there, Drew, is you're downplaying a hot streak. This is damn right flaming from the Cheshire Phoenix. So I hope those Phoenix fans that are listening right now, get excited. We are all on this train right now. I don't know who Dave Routledge is. I don't know if he's the love child of Dave Forrester and Dan Routledge. So I haven't heard that rumor.
I see them as one. They come as a they're a package.
Man,
deal,
if those
man.
Two get, if they were put together, that would be a superpower. Aaron Radin wouldn't exist. Let's put it that way. But go back to the question. Yeah, of course. I mean, Cheshire, I've said it all season. Like, I have absolutely been loving watching them. They're doing this with Ethan Chargois currently on the injured list, so he's still to return to a team that is just flaming hot. And as you said, Drew, we have to give them so much kudos for taking the emotions of a final,
yes,
and being able to handle those emotions and continue that in to keep doing business. And they seem to be doing it with such energy as well. Like, I'm loving the way that their games are, especially at home. They still work in the crowd. They don't look like they're taking their foot off the gas anytime soon. For me, the team that I would love to see them in a three-game series right now is the Leicester Riders. Yeah, They had an unbelievable game in the semifinals, probably the game of the weekend, if we're all being completely honest. You know, we love that matchup of watching, you know, Aaron Rai, Quincy Rideau going to get up against Teddy Buckets and Kimball McKenzie. So I would love to see that in a three-game series. Wouldn't like to call how it's going either way. Both teams are getting on a little hot streak right now. I think that would be the matchup to see outside of the London Lions.
I agree. I think the Leicester Riders are more suited, you know, with their personnel, with their depth. The only thing that worries me about every team, and I tweeted this the other day, is that when you play Cheshire, you have to be very disciplined. Because when you dart for a steal, when you gamble, they're great at what TJ Atwood talked about, giving up a good shot for a great shot, of making that extra pass. And 9 times out of 10, when those guys got their feet set, you know, is money in the bank. And so there's not anyone that I trust, because what I've seen over the course of the season is I haven't seen any team that's disciplined 1 through 5 defensively. And when you play Cheshire, you have to be disciplined. The scouting report, you have to be disciplined. Skylar White, you would normally say run him off the 3-point line, but what he does is he gives you a sidestep 3-ball, which he's mastered. So he's a guy that you have to run up in his space and stay put. You know what I mean? And so take away all his airspace and be under controlled, and then be disciplined to not overreact to his jabs. You know, because he used that jab space to create space to where he brings it over his head so he can shoot over you. And so, you know, with Aaron Wright being able to get to the basket, we haven't seen anybody that be able to guard him. You know, once you cut him off, he's slippery. He Euro steps around you. So, you know, matchup wise, that's why I don't see anyone beating him. Leicester, I think I would like to think that Rob would come with a detailed scouting report where, you know, they can combat that. But right now, the way the Eagles are playing, those guards, man, jeez. The Eagles wouldn't be able to stop them, but my game plan would be, let me outscore them. You know, Will Neighbor is coming back. Devin Whitfield is coming back. They're getting healthier, and they're looking scary. But right now, my money's all on Cheshire.
Yeah, I'd tell you one thing to add that I would be cautious of with Leicester that I watched this weekend is that one thing I think that they're lacking this year, obviously with losing Darian Nelson-Henry, is I really think they've lost that post play this year.
So safety blanket.
They've definitely got some athleticism there, you know. But I was watching Shelton, for example. Like, if you ask questions of Shelton to go and do something, he's not going to be able to do that. He's a trash can guy, you know. And I think we need a little bit more from the other two bigs for them to really make a challenge, because it's a little bit too easy to clue in on the likes of Teddy Buckets and stuff like that. And that's what's very different to Newcastle, is whether the bigs are playing well or not, trying to keep either of those three players in front of you is an absolute freaking nightmare. You know, Larry Austin is looking like he's really getting going at this point this season as well. And, you know, it's already hard enough with Johnson and McGill coming at you. So it's difficult.
Yeah. And the one team that I think is disciplined from a organizational standpoint who can slow the game down is Caledonia. But without Ian DeBose, they're weakened. And I'm not sure that I can fully trust them, but we'll get to see. Cheshire faced those guys on the weekend, and so we'll get a clean look at that. But we mentioned the All-Star game with TJ Atwood. That's coming up. We're looking forward to that. And this is something new that the CEO, Aaron Radin, has brought in. And being a CEO yourself, it was mentioned to me. I was edited by
Leopard Man.
That's correct. He said that it's odd that the CEO last social media post was the day before the semifinals. However, he congratulated Cheshire and the trophy on the LinkedIn page. And so he I don't know if he's worried that there's things going on behind the scenes, but as a former CEO or CEO, Jay, are you worried that Aaron isn't taking the time to feed us on Twitter and Instagram?
No, I mean, he's way more active from a business perspective than I ever was, you know. So let's give him a little bit of credit. He's obviously, like, you know, he's obviously a businessman, and LinkedIn is where you, you know, you quickly get changed into the top half and you put your tie on before you send out what is essentially a tweet. You know, like yeah. it's just a much more
cleaner,
you know, just, yeah, just a posher experience. You know, I'm sure like when he sends those LinkedIn messages, the legs are crossed. He's in England now, so I'd imagine it might be a cup of tea.
Absolutely.
Or maybe if it's later on in the day, something on the rocks, I would imagine, if for Mr. Raiden.
No chaser.
You know, oh, absolutely neat. And that's the difference between him and me, is I'd be choking on that stuff if I had to have anything neat. But no, I mean, like it's really, really difficult, isn't it? I mean, he came out with a lot of intent and endeavor on the other social media, but it takes so much time, Drew. Like it really does, you know. Like I have to jump in from time to time, especially on the basketball stuff. I'm lucky I've got some other people on the football, you know, but I'm always checking, and sometimes social media in a day can be draining, you know. So I think he's chosen the right platform if you're looking for a little bit of the old cash.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to get into those deep pockets, and those deep pockets are hanging out there in the VIP section of LinkedIn, not the dance floor of Twitter and Instagram, where the floor is wet. You get a drink spilled.
Oh,
on you.
I love the dance floor of Instagram.
Dancing to the drunk guy. Like, no, we're over here in the cushy seats where you can sit down behind the velvet ropes, mate. So, Leopard Man, don't be worried. I'm not concerned about a CEO not sending out tweets. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, staying active on social media is exhausting. So usually people in those situations, they have a social media manager that's shooting out tweets and Instagram posts and all that stuff. But not to be worried. But if you are worried, you got an opportunity to ask a question, Leopard Man, because the town hall meeting is this Wednesday, is this Thursday at 2:00. So get those questions flied in, and you know, don't worry about the future of the league. About is there?
Mr. Raiden, why aren't you on the reels? Yeah. Why don't you get on the reels a little bit more?
Yeah, let's focus on the important stuff. Why don't we? But speaking of important, a team that we have been hot and cold on over the last couple of years is the Surrey Scorchers. They've been up and down, but all of a sudden, Jay, they get a huge win at Bristol. They're one game out of seventh. They're two losses out of six with the Sheffield Sharks. Are you a believer?
No.
I mean, you could have drawn it out a little bit. Jeez, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't play with very much mystery. And it's no offense to Surrey. It really isn't, you know, because you're absolutely right. We've been talking about him this year and telling them that they need to step up and they need to be doing this and they need to be doing that. But, you know, quite frankly, like, I think it's less about their form and it's more about just how awful some of the other teams have been. You know, Bristol will be upset, you know, having a real shot at the Cheshire Phoenix to try and break that winning streak and then come out and just play the way they have done with Surrey. You can't turn around and say that they've turned their fortunes around or things have changed. We're only, what, a few days or maybe a week away from Andrew Lawrence getting tossed, Lloyd Gardner getting technical fouls. You know, so there's still some drama. What I do like is that they seem to have upgraded the roster. They've made two additions. So they're definitely intimating to us or to their fans on social media that they're taking this playoff run seriously. And you really would, because take out the London Lions. I mean, who is the consistent performer in this league? Who would you be afraid of having in the playoffs? You know, we've talked about the Cheshire Phoenix. Yes, please, let me avoid them. But then line up everybody else, because everybody else has been just as inconsistent as the Surrey Scorchers, you know? So less about them and more about how poor some of the other teams have been in this second half of the season.
Well, if that's the case, Jay, they need to be aiming for six right now where the Sheffield Sharks lie.
Amen.
And, you know, looking at their schedule, they have yet to have a three-game winning streak this season, but they have an opportunity this Thursday on Sky Sports against the Caledonia Gladiators, who've dropped two this past weekend and look like they're reeling. So this is a huge opportunity. But every time we're getting ready to swing for the fences and hit the home run with the Surrey Scorchers, they let us down. But hopefully, you know, their fortunes have changed. I've seen the whole team go get in the stands there at Bristol and get a team photo. And that just shows you how excited they were to get a big signature road win.
Oh, yeah. But nothing says like you're going to go on a big 10-game winning streak, like jumping in the crowd and having a picture.
Hey, or when you're not used to it, you know what I mean? You got to make sure that you capture it. You know, and that's what that was. It was a, you know, we used to taking them bus rides, putting our headphones on, sulking. And so, you know, you got to soak that stuff up because as TJ mentioned, it's a tough league. There's no gimmies. And so this is a huge game for them. This is a statement.
Well,
game
let's lock that in for game of the week as well. We've covered that off tick.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, tick it off the box. So
you saved me some time.
So let's see. I'm looking forward to seeing them up close because I haven't seen them in a while. But you know, a team that we just mentioned that is right in the grasp that they can grab. And we talked about it last weekend. And I didn't think because they played London Lions twice. So I knew we would be covering this topic this week is what the hell is going on with the Sheffield Sharks? Luckily, they've been able to hide behind the weeds because so much is going on. The Cheshire story, the trophy final that they've been lying in the weeds and it hasn't been talked about, but they've been struggling, Jay. They've lost. What is it here? Let me see. They're 2-8 since Christmas Eve. The Sheffield Sharks. What's your thoughts?
Well, really hesitant to get in here because I'm the only one from the Drew and Jay podcast that the Sheffield Sharks are still currently talking to, as Drew has thoroughly upset them before in the past. So I can only apologize for that. But yeah, you're right. What is absolutely crazy is that this has 100% been flying under the radar. And this is a team that I said is Mr. Consistent, right? If there's one thing that you can rely on, they might not be that exciting in the sack, but they are consistent, you know, and they keep coming for you, but they have dropped off. And all I can look at is there must be a problem. You know, that there have been changes. Tweaks really is what I would call them rather than big, massive changes. You know, they didn't make a big impact like a Leicester Riders. So it seems like, you know, Atiba feels like he's just like a finger away from being able to turn the screw on this team, but it just doesn't seem to be clicking right now. And I don't know, you know, they don't seem to have an identity right now. You know, that's the real thing for me. And like I said, I thought that's one thing we could hang our hat on is, you know, that Sheffield Sharks identity. So whether or not they've tried something slightly different, you know, or whether or not the recruitment's just been a little bit off this year, something is up there in Sheffield. And it just seems really quiet, right? You know, they've just gone into the new arena. Maybe I'm just not following them enough. So I'm sorry if that's the case, fans, you know, point this out and make me pay attention a little bit more, but it just feels really, really quiet and really a little bit empty at the moment for the Sheffield Sharks.
Yeah, eerily quiet. You mentioned about identity. We always know the Sharks are going to play rough and tough. They're going to defend, get down and dirty. But I think observing them from afar, because I haven't been able to follow them closely since all the, because you say it's just gone behind the radar. I've been focused on the trophy teams and Birmingham and all that stuff. But I went back and looked at their roster, and I actually did a feature in the Sheffield Press around the trophy, and they asked me about the Sharks, and I talked about how the future looks really bright because Atiba is a defensive coach, and once his offense evolves from the flow motion that they run, because I've just never been a fan of flow motion. I just think it's very predictable. And I think that, you know, they're going to be one of the top teams for years to come because the budget is going to be uplifted from the money that they'll receive from the stadium. But I honestly think the issue is too many players. And I think that this is something that we got to keep an eye on in the British Basketball League. I was talking to Dave Forrester about this over the weekend. Is if you think about it, even going back to the Jet Sweep, Cheshire Phoenix or Chester Jets, right? Our league has been built on what? A 6 or 7 man rotation. That's what coaches have been accustomed to. Now all of a sudden you got Leicester Riders who are 10, 11 deep, London who are 15 deep, Eagles who are 10, 11 deep, Sheffield now with all those bodies are 10 deep. And I just think it's too many riches for Atiba to manage at this point. Simply because he's not used to it. I mean, you look at their rotations, the last five games, not one player has played over 30 minutes. You got eight guys playing 18 or more minutes. And, you know, it's all about catching a rhythm. And so, and the thing is that those minutes fluctuate. Who gets them? Sometimes it's Rodney Glasgow. Sometimes it's Jalen Pipkins. Sometimes it's Rotino is probably the most consistent in getting those minutes. And I just think he hasn't been able to figure out who's the best five to work with. And so from a coach's perspective, just give us your thoughts on that angle, because you've been there before. Is it more difficult to coach when you have a bigger roster?
Yeah, but you've still got to approach it the same way. I thought one of the interesting things that you said is that, once Andreas kind of got away from Flow Motion, and I know they're particularly struggling in the league, but when you watch them in Europe, they've been really fun to watch. You know, they've been really enjoyable to watch. Their offense has really skyrocketed. His recruitment's changed even as well in terms of what he's looking at and looking for.
Loosey-goosey is how I would describe them, which works for them, which has been successful for the Bristol Flyers as of late.
And I think potentially that's why it will take Atiba longer to maybe evolve, just because of it. He values the defensive end so much. And I don't think that's a negative at all. You know, I think that's something that he's hung his hat on and he's had success with. So why not? I think when it comes to that rotation, and we saw the same with London over the kind of final four in the trophy as well and stuff like that. You've got to it doesn't matter what level you're coaching at, you've got to shorten your rotation. You've got to go with your guys, and there's got to be a point where you need to stop experimenting. And I think it, as a coach, just to give you a little bit of insight, those two things really rub, because you can see there's a problem, and so you're trying to fix the problem. But in trying to fix the problem, sometimes you can create the problem because you're not creating any consistency. You know, it seems to me, looking at Sheffield there with everybody, you know, different minutes and different roles and different things like that, like that's hard to find confidence, you know, because you're looking for your coach to look at you and go, okay, you're the guy. And that's probably a bit odd in Sheffield, I would say, because there's a lot of guys that have been around for a while. And I would say there needs to be some urgency, because otherwise you get to the end of this season and the breakdown's got to be, maybe this is now the end for some of those guys, not in terms of their career, but I'm saying as a Sheffield Shark. So, you know, I think he's got to go back to those guys that he's trusted over a number of years, build a foundation around them and go from there. And, you know, if that means that you got to play heavy minutes, you know, as long as you communicate with these guys, unless you're looking to be liked by everyone, so don't get into coaching, because that's not going to happen. The guys that play the most are going to love you the most. The guys that don't play very much minutes or don't play any, you're going to think you're trash. And that's just, it doesn't matter what job you do, any sport, any coaching, that's going to be the case. So, you know, I hope they sort it out. You know, like I said, I thought that they would have been the most consistent teams, but both them and Caledonia, when I watch them, they seem so similar. You know, it seems so slow, so methodical, and they just seem to get taken at a quarter because there's a team that's braver than them.
Yeah, good points. And I want to get your perspective on one more thing, because we're approaching the end of the season and you mentioned about shortening your rotation. And this is a different angle again for our coaches, because there's a 3-game playoff series now. We all know in every league, playoffs, NBA, even the British Basketball League, when you get to the playoffs, the rotations begin to shorten. When should we start seeing teams begin to do that? Because you said now is the time to stop experimenting. I think I looked at the schedule. London only has literally 7 regular season games left. So it'll be interesting to watch them, because the Euro Cup is done. They're playing playoffs. And so will their rotation get shortened? As a coach, when do you start to look to do that as we move towards the playoffs?
Well, everybody's in different situations. So it's going to be different for everybody, because it depends what you're doing as well. Like how tactical are you being within these playoffs? Who are you trying to avoid? Who are you trying to pick up? You know, and you've got to be careful when you're doing that in the lower ranks, because you could find yourselves outside of the playoffs, right? So trying to avoid a Cheshire and all of a sudden it kind of doesn't go right. But I feel like if you're a team that needs to try and avoid teams at the bottom, you got to start shortening up your rotation and going for games. You know, I feel like if you're higher end up in the playoffs, yes, you want to protect your standings, but also as well, you want to protect your players, right? So you kind of, you must have an understanding at this point what you're running in with. You know, so every coach behind the scenes would be able to tell you right now who are their guys, who are their horses for courses, who they're going to play with. I feel like watching Leicester currently, I feel like you can get a little bit of a flavor as to what they're trying to do with their rotations. Cheshire, definitely, you know, you understand them and their identity. And then, like you said, you're looking at Caledonia, who, by the way, are in a great place considering they're not playing very well. I think they've just been uninspiring for most of the season, but they're still in a fantastic place to make absolutely. A run. And get their guys. And I don't know what needs to happen. You know, clearly Gareth is frustrated. He's getting thrown out of games. He's getting entangled into a lot of refs. And that generally shows that he's frustrated about something. But if those guys start to open up and start to play, again, you look at Caledonia, you kind of know what their rotations are. Dubois got to come back in, which might mean less time for Bothwell. You know, Bothwell... It has been solid, but not necessarily inspiring as a player. He's had his moments. So I really think it depends where you are in the season as to how you protect your roster. London, I think, will see this whole Euro Cup thing through. And then I think that you'll start to see the real head of the snake come off. If they're going super deep in that competition, then look for them maybe to take some risks in the BBL. If things don't work out, and that's all they've got to focus on, then I really think Bozic will start nailing in who are his guys, who he's going with, and they're going to try and make a big run, right? They've been embarrassed a little bit in the trophy in terms of what was expected. You know, I say that in inverted commas. I think as a coach it's really difficult, but at this time of the year you definitely know. And if you don't know and you feel like you need to, you know, experiment with your pieces, you're probably in a little bit of trouble.
Well, this final stretch is going to be fascinating. We all know that the league is wrapped up, but to me, that's irrelevant. We've known that from the very beginning. I still think it's so many storylines and twists and turns that's kept this season alive. I'm just looking at the table right now. We just mentioned it early. Cheshire's on a 9-game winning streak, and they're only 5 wins ahead of Surrey. How nuts is that? Who sits in 8th place? So, you know, there's what, 12 games remaining with Cheshire. Sorry, 13. There's just so much to keep an eye on as we begin to move into March, because, like you say, it's been such a seesaw. No one has really been able to get it going besides this Cheshire streak that we're seeing. Anytime someone gets hot, they get knocked back down to earth. And so there's a lot to look for. There's a lot to be excited for. And man, I'm excited. We got a 3-game playoff coming. And so, be keeping a close eye on things.
Let's keep an eye. It's getting exciting. And as you said, every weekend can change the standings. So let's keep an eye on that. Finally, it's time to give that player a nickname. With Hoopin' and Lootin', the UK's number one jersey destination and home of the Basketball Creators Platform, celebration of basketball culture and entrepreneurs in the UK. This week's pick, I am going to keep trying to push him into this all-star game. So we're going to keep with Plymouth City Patriots, TJ Atwood. Great interview, great guy, great game. Go vote for him now. Tell us what you think he should be called. Let's get him a nickname to go into the all-star game. Why not? Anyway, that's it for me this week. Thank you as always for the support. If you think your brand would benefit with some love on the pod, jump in our DMs. Until then, we hope you've enjoyed. Drew, lead us out.
Yeah, thank you everyone out there. Shout out to TJ Atwood. Like we said, keep that guy in a starting place. How nuts that would be. Any brands that needs a shout out, come holler at your boys right here. We'll make you look good. But until then, guys, things is rolling. Can't believe this is episode 18 already. We're getting towards the tail end of the season, and it's going to get hotter and hotter. So tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in, and we'll catch you guys same time next week here on the Drew and Jay Pod. Have a great week, guys.